I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight the Word of God that heals us. In Matthew 13, Jesus makes this statement. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that kingdom is very important to God, it's what he's building, and to his son. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So we've got to not only listen to what God says, we've got to let it grow in our spirits and develop and mature and bear fruit. If not, if we just kind of let it roll off, we don't apply it, we ignore it, we choose not to try to ask God, what does that mean to me? And the enemy's going to be waiting for the opportunity to take away from you what God intended for you. We're not going to let that happen here tonight. Amen? Yes. How many here need God to do something miraculous in your life and supernatural in your life? I serve the God who still does that. He said these words, I am the Lord who heals you. I am. When he says I am, the ground shakes. I am the Lord who heals you. And no evil shall befall you, nor plague come nigh or near your dwelling. In Psalm 91. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Then he says in Psalm 107, he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. God's still doing that today. And he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. How many want a future? You want to continue doing what you can do for the Lord with good health. Amen? And then, to you who fear my name or respect me and honor me by the way you serve me, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Praise the Lord. Father, arise over us with healing in your wings. Thank you for your Son who has paid the price that not only we be redeemed, but that we be well and whole and healed. Never forget when you asked that particular crowd of people, some of which were doubting you, when they wondered how you thought you could forgive sin, and your simple answer was, well, what's more difficult? To say, take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven you. He said, it's the same for my Father. So, Father, tonight, whether it's sin that is staining us and damaging us, or it's some affliction that's harming us, we thank you for liberation at the table of the Lord. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 You may be seated. Pastor Michael preached one awesome message this morning. I hope you were here to hear that. Amen. That was phenomenally great. We were so awesomely blessed with truth from God's word. I'm grateful to God for what he's doing here at Calvary and the ministries that we have here. Amen? For the team leaders that we have. We're all in the hands that God has given to us to serve, and we're grateful they're good hands. Amen? Now, some have assumed that if Jesus heals somebody, that continuing to possess that miracle is automatic. That, you know, I'm healed, I'm fine, I can go on living life any way I want to, I'm on autopilot. By the grace of God, the healing will manifest. We're thankful when God responds to us. And I'm thinking of all the miracles that God has been doing over the last year and a half. It's incredible. And the things we receive from the Father, we should possess by faith, but we still need to maintain that by faith. Faith is not static. It's continuous. It never stops. It's fluid. It's a day-by-day expression and a walk with God that says, I'm trusting you again today. I have a new day to serve you. I need the same strength you gave me yesterday to manifest again today. It's the desire of the enemy to keep us sick, diseased, weak, bound, and defeated. How many know he loves doing that to anybody he can? The purpose of the devil, the thief, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might live and have life to the fullest or abundantly. Thank God for Jesus, who's changed the dynamic of how we're living out our lives. The nature of God is constructive, abundant, prosperous, to bring us health. The nature of Satan is destructive. Now, you wonder where the destructiveness is coming from in our nation. Well, I can show you the source. The source is Satan and evil. It's destructive. He's murderous. He brings sickness. He steals. He does anything and everything he can to cripple as many human beings as possible, because that's the only successful mission he has left before he's cast into the lake of fire for everlasting punishment. The enemy is called the ruler of this world system, and he wants to destroy and oppose anything and everything pertaining to God and everything that God represents, which includes us, his family, his children. And after we receive a powerful prophetic word or a miracle answer to prayer or a healing, the enemy will seek to find a way to take it away from us. The enemy is a seed snatcher. He's a destroyer. He's a thief. He came to destroy the harvest seeds that God has planted into our lives. And the enemy comes like pestilence to destroy what God has cultivated and established. Man, you can see that in the natural realm with the pestilence we're all struggling with and wondering about. Well, that's what he's doing in the spiritual realm. The farmer sows the word, Jesus said. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown with them. So Jesus is giving us perspective to make us alert and aware. In fact, this is why Peter reminds us, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Well, in order to do that, you've got to have the word of God embedded in you. Amen? We need to guard our hearts from the seed snatchers that will attempt to steal our healing, the seed of faith that God plants in us. When we struggle to manifest the faith to receive the breakthrough that we need, then I believe it's time, in the middle of that emotional turmoil and struggle and those feelings that, well, it won't happen for me or it can't happen in my circumstance, that's when we need to start speaking God's word aloud, boldly, the confession of God's word every day until we begin to allow it to seep into our spirit and take root and bear fruit in our lives, because it's God's truth. It lives. It always reproduces. And what we must learn to believe what we confess. What is it we're saying? What we're saying is the word of God. We need to believe what we're saying. The enemy will come and rob us of the prophetic promises over our lives. When you receive your healing and you've confessed the word of God, there's some symptoms that will come back from time to time and recur. But instead of cowering in fear, believing the worst, believe the word of God. Every time we get a pain, it's very easy to default and go, uh-oh, that must be, or, and you identify something that you think you may have come down with or is attacking you. Just because we feel something, right? We need not capitulate to the spirit of fear coming against our thinking. And I've never seen a day when the spirit of fear has been loosed like he has been in our culture and scaring people in ways I never thought possible. That people are living under this cloud of constant fear and trepidation and worry and doubt, and you're held captive when the spirit of fear overcomes you like that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power of love and a sound mind, which means just use some good common sense, right? Right, that's the way God's talked to us. Healing is the will of God, and it's the Lord who gives us every good gift. He presents us with every blessing that we have. So we have to be alert to the strategy of the enemy and stand against him in the faith of God. Rebuke the symptoms and confess your healing. Say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am well. And if symptoms seem to return after you sense the touch from heaven, then return to the Word of God and find his promise that's applicable to you. Because God has in his word, a living word for you to become a part of your spirit. Let's not be driven by fear all the time, but be moved by the Holy Spirit to speak to sickness in our bodies and tell it you need to leave. You are an invader. You've got no business in my life. It's the purpose of the adversary to rob us of healing, and he creates doubt in our minds related to the will of God for us by stealing, and seed snatching. We have to be aware that doubt and unbelief expressed by people, even who mean well, but they default to doubt and fear and lack of faith. Listen, that can damage our faith and interrupt our healing breakthrough. So we need to be careful what we're allowing through the ear gate of our lives. If we sense something is happening physically because we've received Jesus as Lord, we have delegated legal authority to rebuke, to renounce the devil, to command him, you cannot do this to me. The Bible reveals that God desires to be the healer of his people. I am the God who heals you, right? Meaning that he declares his willingness to heal those who serve him. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now think about the distinction God, and in fact, that's the word he uses, that he's made a distinction between the Egyptians and his people while they lived in Egypt. And how this distinction played out, plagues would attack physically the Egyptians and their bodies and their physicality. And I mean, the only line that was drawn between them and the Israelis was the boundary that God drew, and he clearly kept his people safe from those plagues, safe from all the attacks, blessed by his hand. So Christ's work of healing, not just to prove his divinity, but to prove his sovereignty and his purpose in fulfilling the will of the Father. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. That's why Jesus came, to do what God wanted him to do on behalf of his creation. You know how much God loves us? That God sent his son after us to redeem us, to buy us back, which means I'm bought with a price, amen? Jesus is the revelation of the will of God, and Jesus healed all who came to him, which means that he still heals, delivers, and saves all who come to him today, because he has not changed. So we need to confess God's promises. That's the key that overcomes our doubts, our unbelief, and the lies the enemy tries to plant in place of the seed of the Word of God. That's why it's important to study God's Word. That's why you need to be in a group. That's why you need to have personal time to be with the Lord in his word. This service at the table of the Lord is designed to help increase your faith so you can believe for your healing, for your miracle, for your deliverance. Receiving the word, receiving the benefits of the word comes by being diligent, the word says. Diligent. We must not just hear the word of God. We must become doers of the word of God. We need to live this out. This word needs to get feet in us, right? In other words, knowing and reading the word of God and knowing about healing is not sufficient. You can study this theologically. You can go to a class. You can learn online. You can take courses, but we have to declare, proclaim, confess, and profess it by faith until we own it, till it's ours. And God's supernatural medicine and supplement. Let me show you what the word says. My child, pay attention to what I say. This is your owner's manual, God's word. It tells you everything you need to know on how to live your life. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't let the seed snatcher take them away, because he's going to come the minute God drops that in your spirit to try to steal it. Don't lose sight of them. Don't take your eyes off of this, because the minute you lose focus is the minute you go off the rails. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them. And what? Healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Can you say amen to that? Man, that's a passage to preach from right there, right? The word healing there stands out to me because it's this passage from Proverbs. And when we look up the word health, it literally means in the Hebrew medicine. It's powerful to understand that God's will provides medicine, health to our body, to bring about healing. I was talking to Donna the other day about someone in the Bible that was healed over a period of time, and how he used a medicinal method by which he brought the full, complete healing to one of the kings of Israel, who was now prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah told him, look, king, make sure your house is in order, because what you got, you're going to die. This isn't going to work. And God says, get ready. Your time has come. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and called on the Lord and said, hey, I can't serve you if I'm dead in the ground, but I can serve you like I have been. I can keep doing the things I've been doing and make a difference in the nation of Israel if you'll extend my life. And so God looks at that situation. He goes back and says to Isaiah, go back and tell him, hey, God, I'm going to give him a reprieve. I'm going to add 15 years to his life. I'm going to heal him. And so the king is now interested in how this is all going to take place. And so first he asks for a sign from God, and he says, I want the sundial to stop moving. In fact, no, turn it back. I want it to go back. I want God to change the rotation. I mean, think about what he's asking God to do of the planet, to show his power in my life. And God grants him that. And then the word from the prophet was this: I want you to go take this medicinal fig potion, and I want you to put it on the sore on your leg, and it's going to draw out the infection, and your healing will be complete. So thank God for the methodologies in his word by which his word becomes medicine and healing to us. Amen. Reading the daily confessions of God's word and meditating on those passages begins the process of us feeling better, because our faith grows to embrace God's will for his people. The word meditate means to mutter to yourself. We feed our faith by speaking and confessing the word of God daily. Now, Pastor Michael mentioned this message, he talks to himself. Now, I think he inherited that from me. Anybody here talk to yourself? Well, you better listen to what you're saying to yourself. Sometimes you're saying some pretty nasty things to yourself, and things you shouldn't be saying to yourself, and speaking things that shouldn't come out of your mouth, right? But out of, watch out what's down in here. That's why we need to get this down in here. Because when we confess and we begin to talk to ourselves, listen, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord, well, listen, we're taking our daily medicine when we're confessing the word of God. Start speaking the word of God over your life and believe the Lord. The written word of God is the substance that the Holy Spirit uses to make the word come alive. The living words produce life. They produce joy. They produce peace. They nourish your entire being. And we're interconnected as a being, body, soul, and spirit. One thing affects the other. Philippians 4 says to meditate or think continually about good things and not earthly or carnal things. I ran into somebody at the post office the other day and was telling me a little bit about his life and circumstances and frustrations. And he said, you know, I wake up a lot in the middle of the night. And for a long time, I'd turn on TV and I'd watch certain television programs and the news that was on in the middle of the night. And he said, and I'd get angry. I was yelling at the screen. I was talking out loud. I was getting more upset and couldn't sleep any more than I could before. It was terrible. And I said, so what's your remedy? What did you do to change that? He said, I stopped watching all that stuff. Stopped listening to all that stuff. And I said, well, let me add something to that remedy. And so now you've turned that off. Why don't you turn on God's word and start listening to what God is saying? Because God's got a message, and it's always a message that brings you to hope and a future. He doesn't leave you desolate and hopeless like the world does and the message of our culture does. So as followers of Jesus, having good health is a blessing, right? We shouldn't be thinking, therefore, about the carnality and the evil going on our planet. It's hard not to when it's thrown in your face 24/7, but we need to possess what God's word teaches us. It's activated when we're willing to speak it and act on it by faith. Never confess defeat. Never, never use the word defeat. Claim his promises, every one of them. Every spoken word he will keep. What God said he will do. Are you listening? Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. So look up the healing scriptures in God's word and read them aloud and meditate on them, allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate deeply into your spirit being and plant that seed. And as you listen to them and speak them and rehearse them and over until you've got them memorized, and now you're speaking them out loud, and here's what happens. Out of that batch of passages, God will pinpoint a passage and say, this one is for you in your situation. We have to refuse to compromise with doubt, fear, and unbelief. We have to confess the word of the living God here and now. Start tonight. Yeah. Faith in God's word always activates divine healing. It always did. When Jesus would give a command and the person listening would respond accordingly, pow, a miracle happened. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. What a great partnership that is. At the table of the Lord tonight, recognize you're special to him. He's got a future still for you. And some people think, well, you know, my life isn't amounting to much. And my past is so bad. The terrible things that have happened that have collapsed in my approach to things. Remember this. God always saves the best for last. He always does. Amen? Open your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying specifically to you as a child of God. He's got insight and revelation. He's trying to reveal to us the will and the mind of the Father. Listen carefully what is on his heart toward you. It's the Holy Spirit's desire to open our hearts, to open our eyes and our ears until we hear what God's truth is saying regard to our health, the miracle we need, the deliverance for our children, the wholeness we need in our families. Tune into the whisper of the voice of God, then follow what he says to do. And he rewards you openly with favor and blessings. God promises toward us are yes, and they are amen. And remember, God's our source. He will overshadow us with good things. That's the will of the Father, to bless his kids. So God sent Jesus to deliver us from the effects of disease. They damage our present condition. And he's moved with compassion when he sees us plagued with infirmity. It touches his heart. He's come to rescue us from our fears, to give us a healthy result, to extend our lives. How many want to live in health? Do you want to live in health? Amen? Pledge before Jesus at his table that we will not allow our body and mind to be contaminated as those who choose to live in darkness. I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want the garbage of this culture infiltrating my mind until it begins to direct my thoughts and my expressions. God says, I'm the Lord of covenant, and I keep my promises spoken over you. I delight to see you arise and shine in my power and my glory. Listen to my instruction and be wise, God says in Acts. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Now watch this. And listened eagerly to Paul's message. So there is a difference in audiences, isn't there? Yeah. There's a difference in audiences and groups of people. And that's why on this planet, you can go places and you can preach a very simple word and explosive miracles begin to happen in the audience because they're so eager and so hungry and so desirous. I mean, they're just like little birds in a nest waiting for the mama to come back with some food, and they got their little beaks wide open, just drop it in, please. And they're squawking, feed me, feed me. I preached in places like that. I mean, they pull it out of you. In fact, once in a while, I would make a sentence or say something, and somebody in the audience would stand up and preach it right back at me, man. It was good. I mean, it was alive, and people were eager. So watch this. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. And listen, they had some connect group going on, right? They searched the scriptures day after day, not just on Sunday, to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. They were in the Word of God. And then it says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. So activate God's healing word by speaking it, not just reading it, but then believing it and then doing it. We confess and command. We are not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And by this personal transformation, we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. Listen, we need a mental transformation. Because the spirit of fear is loosed on us, because we're hearing all kinds of messages from the media, all kinds of words and theories and ideas, and some of which is part true and some not true, and we're getting bombarded all the time. We need to be renewed in our minds on a day-to-day basis. And how do I wash my mind of all the garbage that gets put in there every single day? Through God's word. God's word is what renews my mind. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, and thereby I can fulfill the purposes of God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we confess that by Jesus' stripes we are healed physically, mentally, emotionally. How many know there's people in the room tonight and all over our community that need emotional healing because they're struggling in pain with a sense of hopelessness and confusion? I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know how I'm going to get through this next. And we need emotionally to be well. Amen? Isaiah put it this, he was despised and rejected. Speaking of Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with the deepest grief. I told that Marine Recon dad today, I said, I can't understand what you're going through. Can't wrap my brain around that. I said, I feel that in your voice and in your spirit. I said, but I know one who does. He understands your grief. He understands your sorrow, acquainted with the deepest grief. And then it says, we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. We didn't care what he did on our behalf. He was beaten so badly and brutalized so terribly that the scripture says, same prophet, we couldn't even recognize him. He became unrecognizable by the beating and the pillaging and the horrible stuff that was done to him when he was being prepped for crucifixion. Scripture talks about the beatings and the garrison of Romans that spat on him. Imagine being covered with the spit of numerous soldiers who mocked him by bowing in front of him, then getting up and spitting on him, and then beating him about his head and tearing the flesh from his back until when they were ready to crucify him and twisting a crown of thorns and jamming it into his skull until he was unrecognizable. No wonder Mary didn't know who he was when she saw him, because the last time she saw him, he was unrecognizable. And here's this incredible, changed, dynamic, resurrected Son of the living God. She said, maybe he's the gardener. I don't know. Where did they take Jesus? Because I came to minister to him, but he's gone. It's amazing, isn't it, that with all the scars and all the beating and all the brutality he took on our behalf, that he remains forever throughout eternity with the scars in his hands and in his side and probably on his feet. Because even though we will step into eternity without a scar on our body, without a mark, without any disease or sickness or evidence that we've ever gone through anything in aging or crisis of any kind, when we see Jesus, even though we're imperfect, new bodies, he will always walk among us with his scars in his hands and in his side and on his feet, to ever remind us, you are here, you are in heaven, you are my family, because I paid the price for you to be here. And I paid the ticket. I stamped it, paid in full, so you could be here. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful to God I could fall on my face right here and say thank you forever. Amen. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. I say that in Jesus' name. By his wounds, you are healed. We confess that Jesus bore all sickness and infirmity upon himself on Calvary's cross. And Matthew records it like this. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. And what was he referring to in that passage? Well, of course, he's addressing what Isaiah prophesied, but he now applies it to the multitudes of people that are being healed in the ministry of Jesus. We confess that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our daily lives, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We confess that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the legalistic law of sin and death, no longer has us in chains. Romans 8, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Can anybody thank God for that? He gave that to us freely because he loves us. We confess that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of us. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is going to give us life and healing in our mortal bodies by the Spirit who lives in us. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by his same Spirit living within you. Shout thank you, Jesus. And we confess that by the mercies of God, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice daily, which is acceptable to God, which is our reasonable spiritual service of worship. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Use the vessel God gave you for his eternal glory. Amen. Let them be living, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is the way, using all of our being to honor God. And then God is a God who takes away the pain. Thank you, Lord. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. Isn't that awesome? That God will bless our meals and the water we drink. And listen, he will take away sickness from among us. How many tonight want to believe God to take away sickness in your life? Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you. I want him to take away sickness. He's carried it through his son. And we're going to believe God tonight to help there be a reprieve, not only among the people of Calvary Christian Center, but a reprieve in our community, that God will bless us by taking away sickness from among us. Amen. Each day has its own challenges. Sometimes you have some aches and pains when you wake up, and where'd that come from, right? And sometimes it gets difficult. You say, wow, what happened there? Jesus knows and understands what it's like to go through agony that strips away your inner strength and takes away your peace and strips you of physical power. Think about that he's carrying this crossbeam and he is literally shredded while he's carrying that on his back, and he stumbles and falls under the weight of it. And then there's Simon. Who's conscripted to come and pick up that beam and carry that load for Jesus the rest of the way to Golgotha. I want to meet that guy. Because in the middle of people screaming and yelling for his crucifixion, he steps up to the plate and gets underneath the load and makes Jesus trek up that hillside just a little bit easier. What a fantastic guy, right? My goodness. You know, forever there'll be a place of honor for that man. Jesus relates to us when we're struggling with something going on physically. He knows what that feels like. He felt abandoned. He knows what that feels like. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed by those that he trusted, be ridiculed and persecuted and rejected. Rest assured, Jesus knows when we're afflicted and we're in distress and we're struggling in a trial, for he is our high priest, the scripture says, who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's come to take these inner aches and these hurts and these feelings and remind us that in the day of struggle, we are to do what he did, press forward. We don't have to own what we experience in our body, mind, and spirit. Jesus has come. He's the balm of Gilead to soothe our innermost wounds, to bring healing to the broken places in our lives. He's our spiritual nourishment that replenishes us and revives us and restores us to wholeness. Our focus at the table of the Lord is on the power of the Holy Spirit to take away sickness, disease, pain, and infirmity. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. He said, I take note when my people are being oppressed. I have heard their cries in distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. I know when my people are going through agony. So we do this. How do we deal with it? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He is now seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. In a short time, Hosea prophesies, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. We confessed, we're purchased with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, we glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belong to him. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. We confess that we will prosper and walk in divine health, even as our souls prosper through the word of God. How does our soul prosper? Because we have enriched it in God's word. We keep drenching the innermost part of our being in the word of the Lord. And then there's prosperity that springs up out of that seed that's been planted, that affects us in our health, that affects us in our finances. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. We confess that the healing fire of God burns away sickness, disease, and illness and bacteria, and the spirit of infirmity that would damage any part of our body, in the name of Jesus. We confess that at the cross, Jesus healed all of our diseases. We confess that our youth is renewed like the eagles. We confess and command that we will live and not die, and we will proclaim the word of the Lord as our present strength. He has risen over us with healing in his wings. And we confess that we are fearfully and wonderfully created by the Lord. And we command our bodies to operate and function in the way he originally designed them to function. We forbid malfunction, breakdown, destruction in the name of Jesus. We confess and command there's nothing in our spirit, our soul, our body that is not of Jesus. And there's a spiritual detox we're going to have at the table of the Lord. We're going to purge and cleanse by the word and by the spirit. In Jesus' name, anything that does not belong in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds. And I believe once we do that God will begin to heal us and bless us and restore us. I love what Jesus has done and he says to us in his word. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I serve the one who saved me and healed me and keeps me. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you lift your hands and why don't you just thank him for his promises right here and begin to thank him for your healing in this place. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you.